What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. First things first, if you are a weekly listener, you know the drill. You've not done it yet, and if you have done it, I thank you, but I bet you haven't done it yet. Go to patreon.com/kindaneat and please help us keep the lights on and help us keep this passion project going by going to patreon.com/kindaneat, pledging $1 per episode or $2 per episode if you're balling like that. And, you know, on a good month, we release 4 episodes and that's $4 per month. That's way less than HBO now. That's way less than Netflix. And it does so much for us. So helpful. So thank you to all of you who have pledged. And if you haven't yet, get off your butts. Pause this episode. Go there on your phone. Be a nice person. This week, we have on Alan Kingdom. Alan Kingdom from Minnesota, but a bit of a Midwestern traveler, I suppose. Man, kid is talented as fuck. Like, I knew it the first time that I saw his video for Evergreens. I am wonderful. I am wonderful. That works for me. He's just dope. And he's a really, really just nice dude. Good conversation. This one felt good. I mean, dude, the video, he like literally one-taked it. I mean, it was, the performance was incredible. And I think that you guys are going to enjoy it. Also, if you're just tuning in for the first time, to hear Alan Kingdom on Kinda Neat, welcome. We appreciate you coming. If you don't want to hear me, a perfect stranger to you, talk for about 10 minutes, then start fast forwarding until you hear a beat. And when the beat starts, that's when the interview starts. For those of you that do like listening to me ramble, here we go. While we were talking in the studio to Alan and his manager off air, I kind of talked about this a little bit on the episode too, just about like quote unquote real hip hop fans. And I talk about this kind of, I've talked about it like on podcasts with Bus Driver before, and it's just kind of a subject that really, it really irks me, like people who are quote unquote real hip hop fans. And I've been seeing it a lot frequently, and I'm sure that some of you listening right now probably consider yourself quote unquote real hip hop fans. And I'm going to try to kind of talk you out of that mentality for the next few minutes in an off the cuff rant. I see it a lot on Facebook, not as much on Twitter, because Twitter, I think, is a bit of a younger social media than Facebook is. But on Facebook, I always see these videos that go viral of people going like, hip hop now versus hip hop then. And then the hip hop now part is like somebody just rambling, I don't know, guttural noises through autotune over a beat in triplets. And that to them is supposed to imply that it's whack, or like that's supposed to equate to like, oh, this music is shitty. And then the hip hop then is like some dude spitting these, you know, quote unquote intelligent bars with punchlines and et cetera, et cetera. And they go viral. And I always see my friends that are like my age in their mid 30s or early 30s posting these videos and going like, LOL, so true. And I'm just like, give me a fucking break. There's no validity to that whatsoever. And I think that it is a extremely biased opinion, and it lacks a lot of insight, and it lacks a lot of historical context. And honestly, I know that I talk about it all the time. And my girl that the girl that I mentioned, I've been seeing, my girl, I will refer to her as my girl. She was like, you think too much about race. And it's probably true. I do. But you know, as I've spoken about before, being like a white rapper and a white hip hop fan, I think about my place in that realm quite frequently. And so, I think it's kind of racist too. Like, I think like harping on new hip hop is kind of this weird racist thing to do. And it's because hip hop and rap, whatever you want to refer to it as, like people talk about, oh, there's real hip hop and there's rap. Like, no, that's just a made up thing. Like somebody just made that up. Like no one in 1979 or 1986 or whenever the fuck was going like, you know what? Hip hop's what you live and rap is what you do. Like, nah, that's something that like somebody made up far after that. Afrika Bambaataa or fucking KRS-One or somebody, whatever. My point is, rap music is a black youth music, period. It is a music that was invented by black youth in the fucking late 70s, early 80s. And then now people who are going to try to like punk me and say like, well, there were white people involved back then too. Sure, there were. Sure, there were Puerto Ricans. Sure, there were fucking white people. Sure, there were Jewish kids. There were all types of people for certain. But it was a predominantly black art form. And to this day, the people that are progressing it the most are still black youth. And so, you know, what got me kind of thinking about this was like, Alan's manager was mentioning, yeah, people like act so weird about auto-tune sometimes. And like, I don't get it because like auto-tune sounds dope. And I'm like, yeah, auto-tune does sound dope. I don't understand how it became this like weird thing where like, if you use auto-tune, it's not real all of a sudden. Because for one, as a rap listener, particularly if you're a fan and you're not somebody making it, who are you to say what is real and what is not? For one. For two, what you deem to be real or pleasurable is merely because of your biases growing up. Like you listened to a certain type of music that formed an opinion in your head that made you decide this is how it is supposed to sound. But guess what? That's exactly how your fucking parents were about rock and roll music. Your parents thought the same thing about the music you listened to as a child. So when you were listening to your boom bap rap music when you were a kid in the 90s or whatever, or if you were listening to, you know, whatever you deem fucking real hip hop to be, that's the same thing that your parents thought when like Nirvana came around. They're like, this isn't rock music. Rock music is fucking, you know, Styx. Rock music is fucking Bob Dylan or Neil Young or whatever. And yo, shout out Bob Dylan, Neil Young, that's dope music. But guess what? Fucking Korn was dope too for a minute. Nirvana's dope too. But my point is when you start to get older and you have a developed idea about what music is, then all of a sudden anything new that you don't instantly grasp or that is not instantly palatable to you, it's very easy to write it off as whack. It's very easy to write it off as this is some bullshit. It's very easy to write it off as, oh, this doesn't take talent or this isn't art. But I would argue, and a lot of people would argue, that as soon as something is deemed not art, that almost instantly qualifies it as art. Anybody that says, oh, this is some bullshit, I could have done this, you know, the fact of the matter is you didn't do it. And since you didn't have that idea and you didn't make it happen, you are not the artist. And the person who made it is an artist. That might be a very convoluted argument, but I would say in my ideology, it rings true. So that being said, I would hope that as this channel progresses and I start recruiting and searching out newer, younger, fresher, more progressive artists that are doing weird shit, because now the use of autotune is whether you like it or not, it is an experimental tool in rap music. It allows people who might not naturally have great singing voices to play more with melodies and do interesting things with melodies. And if you don't think someone like Thugger is doing amazing things with melody just because he's like if you don't think he's using his voice as an instrument, then you're just not listening right, or you're not being open-minded enough, because he's doing extremely innovative things with his voice that is no different than what jazz musicians were doing with their instruments, you know, in different times of music history. So I would just hope that as we continue on with this podcast and with this YouTube channel, that you stick to open-mindedness and don't become one of those fucking herbs on Facebook posting about real hip hop versus fake hip hop. Don't come on the YouTube channel talking about this is some bullshit, this isn't real hip hop, because I don't fuck with that. And I'm the one doing all the work here. Like, you guys are just listening. That doesn't take any fucking work. I can appreciate progression, and progression is forward movement. And regardless of whether or not you like the forward movement or where the movement is headed, that's all subjective. What is objectively happening is that it is progressing. It is moving forward to new places every single day. And to only stick to listening to one type of rap music or one sound where it's a simple 4/4 beat at about, you know, between 85 and 90 beats per minute with someone rapping in a cadence where the rhyme scheme hits at the end of every bar on the 1 and the 3 or the 2 and the 4, whatever, if it were to stay stagnant and remain just that, then hip hop would be stagnant. It would not be progressing. You know, somebody posted a video on Facebook the other day of like DMC talking about why hip hop now sucks and this, that, and the other. And I just couldn't help but think like, man, I hope I never get like that. Like, no shots at DMC, but like, you know, to say that the radio is bullshit or shit they play on the radio is bullshit, that was his argument, that the radio is bullshit. It just seemed so much like a call for attention. Like, there's no point in being an aging artist and hating on younger artists, because the artists that came before you were hating on you, and the artists that came after you revered you, just like you revere the artists that come before you. So there's just no point in spreading hatred about music. I think it's just more of a thing where it's like, if you don't get it, you don't get it, and it's fine if you don't get it. But I just really hope, and I always try to pound this in people's heads on the YouTube channel, like, if you don't like it, it doesn't mean that it's objectively not good. It means that you subjectively don't appreciate it, and it's not for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. If something doesn't hit your ear the right way, that's nothing to be shameful about, and it's nothing to like feel shitty about, and it's nothing to that you need to project that distaste or discomfort out into the world. Just fucking just know that it's not for you, and you tried. But I would say that oftentimes, particularly with artists that I have on the channel, I think like, if you give them a chance, you're going to see the artistry in it. You're going to see the potential, because when I say potential, a lot of the artists that we do have on are very early in their career, and I think that sometimes there's just nothing wrong with having some fun and throwing on some auto-tune and just, I don't know, man, just don't be a boner on Facebook posting whack shit about why rap sucks. Cause rap doesn't suck, man. If you don't like it now, that just means you're just not fucking cool anymore. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just like, if you don't like rap now, then you probably just don't like that. You don't actually like the culture. You don't actually like youth culture. You know what I mean? Like, you don't love old rap because it fucking sounds like, or you liked it because it was fucking new and different when you were a kid and it just hit you at the right time. And even though you're not a kid now, the stuff that's coming out now is new and different. It is the definition of like forward progression. It is the definition of hip hop soul, of what hip hop is like creativity and fun and artistic expression and progression. So anyway, I don't know. That's the end of my rant about just staying open-minded. Because, man, shit with auto-tune sounds dope, man. I don't understand why the fuck y'all are hating all the time. God damn. Anyway, Alan Kingdom, like I said at the beginning, he's just someone that I just knew. But he was just dope. I like it. I just instantly liked it. He's got vocal range. He can sing. He can rap. He's got great selection in beats. He's got a couple of free projects on Spotify and new stuff coming on the way. He's been touring. He was out here for the Day and Night Fest. And I just have no doubt in my mind that if you're a fan of this show, you're going to like him and you're going to appreciate his music. There's just no denying the kid's talent. So, yeah. There's not much more I can say about that other than I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I hope you go to patreon.com/kindofneat, kick us a couple doll hairs. And yeah, man, new things on the way. We got a bunch of episodes lined up, so I think we're on a roll right now. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Alan Kingdom on Kinda Neat. Out in LA for what? Mainly shows?
Yeah, mainly shows, mainly collabing with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard traveling man now? You ever at home anymore?
I'm at home, yeah, but I'm mostly traveling.
Yeah.
I'm mostly traveling.
Yeah, are you having a good time?
Yeah, I'm having a great time. Like, this is what I want to do, so.
Right.
Yeah.
When you decided that it's what you want to do, did you know that you would enjoy all the side stuff that you have to do? Because making the music is kind of like a pretty minor part of the career in general, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Like, I didn't know what exactly it would come with, but I got to get like a good idea before I was like fully involved. And I don't know. I just feel like I always wanted to travel, and I feel like the lifestyle is part of why I wanted to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I always wanted to see the world. Like, I can't I can't like stand still or anything. Like I always have to be out and about. So it was just, I don't know. I felt like it was just made for me to do.
Right. And it's kind of nice to travel the world on other people's dime too. Yeah, or like making money while you do it.
Yeah. Making money while you do it.
Gives it a purpose. Makes it feel less like roaming for no reason.
Sometimes it just ruins like vacations. Cause it's like, man, if I'm just somewhere not making money or not doing a show, then why am I there? So it's like, I'll just be like, man, I want to go to Hawaii, but I'm gonna just wait till I do a show in Hawaii. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Like, it almost kind of feels like you're wasting your time too.
Yeah, it's like a wasted time. Like, I'm not gonna go somewhere if I don't have a show there, if I don't have a studio session. Like, because if I love to make music and I love to travel, those together are gonna be better than just one of them by themselves.
Right. Do you have that busy body feeling where you like always have to be doing something or you get like anxious?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. How do you fight that if you aren't busy?
Man, I don't know.
You haven't been not busy probably in a while. Yeah. Huh?
But I don't know. I try to get into other things. Like maybe I watch a documentary or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm going back to school now just because of that.
Really?
Yeah. Like I'm only taking like a couple classes at a time.
Just online?
Yeah, just online. Nice. Just online. Just so when I'm like feeling anxious, like I have it really bad. You know what I mean? Same. Like I have it where it's like if I'm not doing anything for a couple hours, like you know what I mean? I'll just be in a space I don't like. So I literally did it to keep myself like busy.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, what kind of classes are you taking?
Marketing.
Nice.
Yeah, just generals.
That's marketing. Useful.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, I was in school for a little bit, but then like my career got so like crazy that at the time I didn't know how to balance it. So I was like, all right, fuck that. I'm just going to do music.
Where were you going to school at?
St. Paul Community College.
Okay.
Yeah, St. Paul Tech.
Yeah.
So I was there for a little bit, but then I started doing more shows and I didn't know how to balance it. But now I just kind of feel like it's like my lifestyle, so I can slowly add other things that I want to do, you know what I mean, into it. You know what I mean? So
you're starting to work out your schedule a little more.
Exactly. Yeah. It's starting to, at this stage that I'm in, it's starting to become a little bit more like I'm getting used to it and I'm actually finding gaps.
Right.
Things. You know, you got to just adjust. So well, I've just been adjusting.
And that's the funny thing about a music career is that it does becomes a career and it does become like a job. And at first, when you start a job, you have a lot of take home stress, like, oh, this new job, I got to do good at it. And then once you get comfortable in it, you start to like understand your schedule more. Exactly. And like, you have those moments where there's downtime.
Yeah.
And I think people like you, people like me, people like a lot of the world, it's like when you have that, those idle hands, like the busy brain, you can't turn it off and you got to find something to fill those voids with.
Definitely. And also I did it for like my own sanity kind of too. Cause it's like a lot of times in music, just like artists, I just feel like are born with like this weight, you know what I mean? Of always comparing yourself to somebody else or like, you know what I mean? Like there's just this weight of like just being a creative soul in general. Like even if you don't put any music out, just being a creative person, I just feel like you carry a certain weight with you. And like for me, it's like for all of like the things I didn't like about school and all the negative things, like the one positive was that at least if I do the work, I know exactly what I'm gonna get.
Right. The
you
outcome.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know the outcome. And a lot of times in like this type of lifestyle, like you can put in hours and hours of work and you know the universe, you're gonna get back what you put in, but sometimes you never know when. You know what I mean? Like you see people work for 10 years just for their first hit song. You know what I mean? So it's like you never really, you know, so just to keep yourself sane, it's like, all right, at least if I know if I read this book and then do this test, I get an A+.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like just something for me to be like, all right, like I can do that.
A more predictable payoff kind of.
Exactly.
Because that's the funny thing. The ironic thing about music is sometimes the harder you work, the less outcome you see almost. Yeah. Or sometimes it's like the most accidental thing can become the thing you're known for.
Yep. It's mostly the songs that like I didn't really try that hard is the ones people like the most.
Right. They just pour out.
They just come out. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, it's just about balance. I just like to like balance shit out.
Right. Yeah. Were you always a busy brain kid? Like I would imagine, I don't know, I'm just guessing, listening to your music and stuff. Did you have like depression issues growing up? And you talk about anxiety and stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, I wasn't dark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, you got to stay happy.
It's like, I was like just a loner more so. I wouldn't say I was like the dark kid with the hood on.
Right.
In the back of the classroom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, we all go through depression, but I was more so trying to like let it out by like performing or making other people laugh or do something like that. You know what I mean?
The kind of sad clown thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to be too on the nose of Minnesota, but Exactly. Yeah, I feel that. Like, a lot of kids, like, where when you are, like, charming, intelligent, and outgoing, but you do deal with those inner turmoils, like, you oftentimes project it outwards into, like, seeking attention and validation through humor or music or whatever. Right? Yeah. So was that you? Were you, like, a class clown as a kid?
Yeah. Definitely.
Really?
Like, all the way.
What do you remember, like, kind of around the age that started?
It was always there.
Just always there.
It's like, it was like the original problem.
Really?
Like, my first problem ever going to school was that.
Really?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then also, I would always get in trouble for, like, talking during class. A lot of people did.
Right.
But the thing is, I would be talking during talking time, and my voice just projected louder than everybody else's.
You do have a booming voice.
Yeah. So, like, everybody would be talking, and then the teacher would just be like, Alan, and I'd be like, everybody's talking. Why am I, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it was almost like it was a blessing in disguise, you know what I mean?
Figured that out early about yourself, like the vocal projection.
That's
good. Where did you go to school?
I went to a couple of schools. The first school I ever went to, I got kicked out of, like, every preschool in Winnipeg in Canada.
Because you started out, you were born in Winnipeg, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I got kicked out of every preschool.
Why?
I was a bully.
You're a bully?
Yeah, when I was a baby, though.
Yeah.
Not when, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But when I think I just got all of that out of me when I was, like, a child.
No shit.
When I was a baby, I was, like, terrorizing other kids. Like,
really?
Hitting them, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was just, I don't know why, but I got that all out.
Are you an only child?
Yeah.
Child.
I was raised the only child. I have, like, half brothers and sisters in South Africa and stuff.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe as an only child, you're used to being around adults for your first 4 years or something. And when you get around kids, you're like, fuck these little kids.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's what it was.
Right.
But even just as a child, I always had older friends.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, I was always, like, the youngest in the group.
Uh-huh.
But the first elementary school I went to was a Christian school called Keystone Christian Elementary School.
Yeah.
And then, like, going to that school was almost like, it was good and bad. It was, like, good because I learned such good values. But then it was bad because, like, I expected the whole world to be like that.
Polite,
you know what I mean?
Just
polite.
Yeah.
And, like, because I was, like, a kindergartner, but, like, the seniors were cool to me and shit. Like, it was a dope place to be at.
Wait, seniors, like, seniors in high school?
It was, like, K-12.
No way.
It was, like, K-12.
So it was, like, a tiny little place? Or
yeah, it was small.
Yeah,
It wasn't that big. But it was, like, a normal-sized school. It wasn't, like, a 30-person school. It was, like, a normal-sized school.
Really?
Just kindergarten through 12th grade.
Right. And so there's, like, 17-year-olds walking around with 5-year-olds?
Yeah.
That's
interesting. Yeah, it was really. So I had friends of, like, all ages.
Yeah.
And I mainly would hang out with older people.
Right.
So, like, I went there, and then I was in, like, 3rd, 4th grade, and I went to Dalhousie Elementary, which is just a public school, and it was, like, so much easier.
Still in Winnipeg?
Yeah. Still in Winnipeg. And
then
it was, like, I don't know. It was cool. It was the school wasn't as rigorous and shit. It was just, like, easy. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and I think moving is what a lot of times gives people more of a loner type attitude.
Right.
It's like moving around is like, I don't have any childhood friends that's like, I've known them since I was a kid.
Right.
And we're still as close now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's weird, but it's kind of like that.
Well, how did your family end up in Winnipeg? Because you say you got half brothers in South Africa and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So your dad is South African?
My dad's South African.
Okay.
My mom's from Tanzania, from East Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did they meet?
They met in school.
In school over here or in Canada?
In Canada. Yeah.
So what was it that made them want to leave Africa to go to Canada? Do you know?
Just higher economic power.
Yeah.
You know, like, just broaden and expand, like, you know, the family and shit.
Right.
So,
and so they meet in school, and did so dad already had kids in South Africa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what was Canada like as compared to the States now when you look back? Just a more polite place in general?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the stereotype.
Yeah, it is, but it's like there's less of an edge.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like the U.S. is still such a mecca for the world. Like, I feel like it's a good representation of, like, every country in one. That's what the United States of America is.
Right.
So you just get, like, more real life in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And Canada is just as diverse. You know what I mean? Like, but it's just different, man. I don't know. Like, it's just different. It's little things, too. Like, little cultural things.
Right.
Yeah.
My knowledge of Winnipeg is pretty limited. Is it
small
a
town.
Is it a French speaking area too or
yeah,
no? It is?
It is.
So did you grow up speaking French and English?
No, English.
Yeah, do your parents speak other languages or no?
Yeah, my mom speaks Swahili. That's my first language is Swahili.
Really?
Yeah. And then My dad, I'm pretty sure, speaks a couple languages, like Afrikaans, English, and then probably another South African
language. Wow. Can you still speak Swahili?
Yeah.
That's so dope. Yeah. Hell yeah. And it, are there little bubbles of African communities in Winnipeg, or were you guys just kind of like yeah. a... Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Did like, you, the places like that, like even like Minnesota,
yeah.
they give... like grants and special programs to people in other countries to increase migration so that they have more like economic growth in those areas because they're so cold that nobody else would want to move there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, right.
I'm from Alaska. It's like the same way we get the dividend mm-hmm. fund. Like they pay people to exactly. live in the state if you're yeah. a resident. Yeah. So what were your folks doing in Winnipeg like for work when you were a kid?
Well, when I was a kid, my mom was just grinding, but
right.
Now she's a pharmacist.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, yeah, she's a pharmaceutical scientist. But nice. When I was a kid, she was just grinding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just getting by, like, trying to feed me, and, you know, she did a good job, so.
And then what was the catalyst to move to Wisconsin?
Her job. She
okay.
She got a job with 3M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and moved to Wisconsin, and then moved to Minnesota after that.
And so had your parents already split by that time, or what?
Yeah, yeah. My dad told her he was gonna go back to South Africa.
Oh,
they never got married or anything.
Oh, okay.
So like, I was just like a love child. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he was like, I'm gonna go back to South Africa after school. So he did exactly what he said he was gonna do.
Right.
And then I just stayed. And my mom, he was like, you could come with me. And my mom was like, nah.
Really?
Yeah. And then she stayed in.
Oh, no shit. So yeah. Do you go to visit your dad sometimes?
I went when I was little. I went like once or twice when I was little, but I haven't really gone back that much. I want to go again, but. I want to do a show. You know
right. what I'm saying? Travel to South Africa yeah, on the showdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you keep in contact close with your dad or no?
Not that much.
Really?
Not that much.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like a friend that you move. You know what I mean? It's like anybody. When you move far away from them, it's like,
yeah.
we could keep talking, but it'll be awkward.
Right, right. It's one of those things where if you're not talking to somebody on the daily, it's like it yeah. just becomes catch-up sessions yeah, or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He used to hit me on Facebook randomly, like, yo, it's good. Or like comment on a song and be like, yo, it's just dope.
He's like, oh, yo, son, this is fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, oh, 3 flame emojis. Yeah.
This is like before the whole Kanye thing, too.
No
he would
shit.
Just hit me randomly and be like, oh, this is fun.
That's so tight. That's it. Yeah. So you guys, your mom didn't have family over here then?
No. She had one brother in yeah. Minnesota, but that was it. And that was when she moved to Canada, he was already here. So he yeah. was really the first person in my family to come over here.
So it's kind of just you two.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a
yeah.
tiny family unit.
Yep.
I mean, that kind of, like, plays into the family unit in and of itself. Is you guys are a couple of loners almost. So that mm-hmm. kind of almost plays into what you're saying is, like, yeah. growing up a loner, huh?
Definitely.
Yeah. I often feel like people's... I mean, I talk to a lot of musicians on here and I try to look for themes, you know,
yeah.
and I feel like people's family unit often kind of like dictates how they act socially, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Definitely.
And so like my friends that have big extended families, like they have huge extended friend groups.
Yeah.
I grew up in a small family yeah. unit too. And so I'm like very picky with who I
yeah,
choose to hang out with.
Too.
You feel
that's
me?
That's how I am too.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of raised like that if you're in a small unit.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just the mentality. So it's like, you know, watch who you know, bring are around.
And right.
I just feel like those type of themes are more just brought out in a smaller family.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be more protective. There's
right.
less people.
Exactly. It's like
know?
Protective and
yeah.
like it's like getting that trust, that
yeah.
initial trust to like let somebody into that unit
yeah.
is like something that takes a lot.
Definitely.
Whereas like my friends that grew up with these huge extended families, like they'll trust anybody off jump.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
yeah, that's crazy. So how was Wisconsin then? How old were you when you moved there?
When I moved there, I think I was like 10.
Yeah.
Like 9 or 10.
Yeah. So like you're really starting to come into your own as like a social kid
yeah.
as a 10-year-old. And
yeah.
it's like, you know, at that point, you already understand what's cool and what's not cool,
yeah.
et cetera, et cetera. So like being uprooted at that point, it must have caused kind of a shift internally with you.
Yeah, yeah? Definitely. It
yeah.
was like it was one of the first times where it's weird because I came up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, when I was like a kid, I at that age, I knew I was African.
Mm.
But when I moved to Wisconsin, I knew I was black.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's different when you cross the border. Like,
right.
In certain ways like that. Like even one of my homies that I grew up with in Winnipeg,
yeah.
when he came over here to one of my shows, Bon Iver had a festival in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Eau Claire.
Yeah. Eau Claire Fest
yeah, right.
that I played last year.
Yeah.
He was like, man, like as soon as I crossed the border, I felt black. Like, you know what
that's
I mean?
So
like,
interesting.
And it was just an interesting concept because all that says is that it's just all in our heads.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's literally just consciousness and, you know.
Well, I love kind of discussing that topic because I think race politics in America are like completely fucked right now. So can you kind of expound on that? Like as a 10-year-old, how do you grasp that concept of like, oh, in Canada, I have a national identity. I'm African. You know what I mean? Or you know what I mean? Like Tanzanian? South African. Yeah, right. You know. And then in America, now you're just black.
Yeah.
How do you grasp that as a 10-year-old?
It took some getting used to because it was like all children, I feel like, are naive to ignorance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you just come out naive to ignorance. And either because of survival or being led astray or just like personal experiences with other people, like, then you learn like other people are A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like it was more just survival-wise, I had to learn how someone else may view me. You know what I mean? Being in the environment I was in, I was like, okay, I have to, moving around to all these cities, to keep myself safe, I have to then picture how other people view me in their minds. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, do people see me as a cool guy? Do people see me as a threat? Do people see me as lame? You know what I mean? Do they think I'm cool? Like, and you start to have these thoughts at a hyper level, I feel like, is the more you travel.
Yeah.
And you start to become more sensitive to it. And like, just human body language, you start to like understand it more and a lot of things. Even me compared to my friends in Minnesota now, I feel like I have the upper hand because they don't travel as much.
Right, right.
So, like, if I go to, like, Belgium or whether I'm in Texas, I can kind of tell if someone's, like, mad or if something's about to pop off, even though I might not understand really the culture or the language or anything or something like that. I might just be able to tell by the vibes and the body language.
Right.
So just moving around helped me do that. And I think that's how I, like, kind of grasp, like, being, like, the concept of being black.
And just kind of like the more you travel, the more cosmopolitan you become, the more attuned to street smarts, really. Yeah, it's street smarts.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, so like, do you have any memories of just shit when you moved to the States where it's like, whoa, that was some racist ass shit that just happened to me?
You know, it would always be like, it would always be after the thought. Like, somebody would say something and then I would like think about it. Like at first I'd be like, oh, cool. But then I would like think about it and be like, damn, like that was actually really wrong what they said. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or it was just certain naive things like other people always getting something and then me not getting that thing and me just thinking like, oh, that was just probably by chance. Right. But then it keeps happening and it's like, oh, wait, like,
There's a trend going on here.
So it's just through that, man. Like,
wow.
Because it's like, I remember, like, even my mother trying to explain to me the concept of, like, and she didn't even use the word privilege, you know what I mean? She's from Africa, so I feel like these words are trigger words not everybody's using.
Right.
But, like, she was trying to explain the concept of how I'd have to work harder for things because of who I am and how I look, etc. And I always felt like she was just, like, talking out the side of her ass. Like, I thought, you know what I mean? Like, I thought she was just,
oh, you're just an older person. Yeah, like, older that's person. How you feel. That's not how our generation is.
That's not how we are.
Right.
But then,
that is how it is.
That's how it is. Yeah. And then just through getting older, I realized, like, man, she was like, right.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, now she's like, I remember when you used to not think like racism was even a real thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or not think anybody would judge you just because you're nice. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so those type of things, like, came just through experiences.
Because being a fucking nice black man in America sometimes doesn't mean shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
it
does. Like, being a nice person doesn't supersede being a black person in the States, which is fucked up. Yeah. You know, I always trip on the thought of like African immigrants coming over that don't have the familial ties to American. Just the past of fucking the history of race or like the history of slavery and all that shit. You know what I mean? And just like having to come to terms with this fact of like, oh, over here, I'm just a black person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that, like your whole history gets erased or
Definitely.
Something. It's so fucked. Anyhow. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I always end up going on race and rants. Yeah. Okay. So, in Wisconsin, by the time you get there as a 10-year-old and you're already kind of like this loner kid, do you start, noticing your own creativity in hindsight? Like, were you into like creative shit that you don't think other kids were into at that age? Or like, what did you do to kind of like fill your time?
I drew a lot.
Yeah.
I write poetry a lot. Like, I remember I would, like, just rap in class and stuff.
Oh, you already started rapping?
Yeah, I was rapping. I was rapping, but then, like...
Like, memorizing other people's songs? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, I'm probably a good 10 years older than you, and I used to do the same thing when I was 10. I would memorize people's raps and, like, rap them to my friends, and they thought it was so cool.
Yeah. They just thought it was dope to do. Like, can you do this song? Like, can you, you know?
Right.
And I was just learning and doing.
Like, memorizing a song, somebody else's song back then was, like, a very novel trick that, you know what I mean? Like, people were like, whoa, wow. you memorized
it? Yeah, it's crazy. They're like, you know the old song?
Right.
It felt cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did your mom have a lot of friends or no?
When we were in Canada, she did.
Yeah.
And then as we moved around, the friend group got smaller and smaller. Same with me.
Yeah.
Like, and when I was coming up, like in Canada, I had a lot of friends. You know what I mean? We were staying in this apartment building, and there was other like African immigrants staying in the apartment building, and Asian, a lot of African and Asian people. And like, my mom got me a Nintendo, so I would make friends because I would always be by myself.
Yo, having a Nintendo was the key back then to like having friends.
Because no one else had one. No other kid had one in the building. Mom was like, I'm going to get him this so that other kids will come over here and play with him.
Right.
So, like, I had the most friends then, but moving around, like, I had less and less friends. I feel like it's the same with her, too. Like, I don't know.
Being that she's a single parent raising you with a job, like, were you a latchkey kid growing up? You'd go home and be by yourself?
Yeah, go home and be by myself.
Yeah. What would you do at home? Watch TV and shit?
Watch TV, watch music videos.
Oh, yeah.
Write, dance. I would literally do every type of thing, like everything that you could do creatively, like draw, write, dance, write stories, write poetry, write, like, I would just fill my time with anything.
Yeah.
Like that. And then after a while, I started sewing clothes. Like, that was after like junior high and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, going to the thrift store and finding stuff and sewing it and, like, just anything I could do to, like, fill my time up. I
did. That's real dope, designing your own clothes shit. Yeah. How did you learn how to sew?
Just YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just doing my, like, I was just, like, experimenting, really.
Right.
I would try it on, and the pants would, like, the leg, my foot wouldn't fit, and then I have to, like, take it apart and do it again.
Yeah.
It's just, like, trial and error.
Yo, that's really dope.
Yeah.
Man, I wish that I would have came up, like, when YouTube tutorials were around. I feel like I would have mad skills at this point.
Yeah, that's how I learned to make beats, too.
You can learn how to do anything with YouTube. It's amazing. When did you guys move from Wisconsin?
I think I was in sixth grade.
And that's when you get to Minnesota?
Yeah.
And I feel like most people know you as like a Minnesota dude, right?
Yeah. Because my coming of age is in Minnesota.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I was a kid when I was in Minnesota. You know what I mean? I'm in my early 20s. So it's that's where I spent most of my life.
And so when you get to Minnesota, you got moved to Minneapolis or St. Paul?
St. Paul.
And are they kind of the same city? Like, they're sister cities.
Now they're sister cities. Yeah.
And so, what's St. Paul like?
Very chill.
Yeah.
When I moved there, it was like, I don't know, there wasn't much going on. Like, just a chill city. It's like any other, and it's like any other metropolitan area.
You know
what I mean? It has its good parts, has its bad parts. Like, it's one of those cities.
I think Minnesota like kind of surprisingly diverse?
Yeah.
Like, people think that it's just Minnesota, they just think mad white people, but I feel like Minneapolis is pretty fucking diverse.
It has the highest Somalian population in the U.S.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so another group, and Hmong people, like, there's a lot of Vietnamese people there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty diverse.
Yeah, and good art scene there, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's no secret. I actually came up listening to, like, tons of Minnesota rappers, obviously, and I won't bore you with questions about, like, oh, how did they influence you? I'm sure you get those so much. But, I mean, there is a astounding music scene there. Prince, you know, there's a big heritage of
music. Definitely. It's there. There's something there. Like,
right.
You know, it's definitely not an empty city.
And so being that when you got there, I would assume you already loved music. Mm-hmm. Were you able to kind of like get out and find your people there? You know what I mean? Like find other music lovers?
Not at first.
Yeah.
Because at first, like, I was consuming just mainstream hip hop for a while.
Yeah. Like who?
Like Nelly.
Nelly's,
you know what I'm
amazing.
Saying? Like
he influenced the generation.
That's what
bro.
I mean. It's like that, like Pharrell.
I mean, can we keep it 100? I think without Nelly, like the modern style of sing-songy rap would not be as prevalent today. You can really trace back that sing-songy rap a lot to like his to first Nelly. Record. Yeah. Yeah, that came out in 99. Like nobody was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, go ahead. Nelly, who else?
Outkast, like Ludacris.
Right.
I remember the first CD I ever had was West Side Connection.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I used to love that West Side Connection. They used to call everybody Guppies.
Yeah.
I thought Guppies was like the hardest.
I need to listen back to it again, to be honest, because when I got it, I was too young to even understand.
Right.
And I don't know why my mom bought me that CD.
Yeah. Either.
And then I got Get Rich or Die Trying.
Oh, that was that a big one for you?
Yeah. That was definitely a big one for me, too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Those two.
So, yeah, you're in Minnesota. Well, also, like, how you just always lived in cold areas, huh?
Yeah. That's another thing.
Do you ever want to get out of cold areas?
Yeah, in winter.
Yeah.
But now, like, for the past, like, for this last year and this year in the winter, I've just been coming here to LA.
In LA?
Yeah. So I've just been cheating it, kind of.
Yeah. You're like a snow bunny now.
Yeah.
You just, like, migrate, or snowbird, you migrate for the winter and shit.
Like, but at the same time, if I stayed in a place where it was always warm all the time, I feel like it'd freak me out.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just so used to my life being in seasons.
Yeah.
I'm used to this happening this season, like, fall season, like, you know, you find a girl to, like, cuddle up with, cuffing
season. Yeah.
But it's not necessary here.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's a big problem. Cuffing season does not exist here. It's always player season.
It's always player season. Yeah. It's just, like, I'm just used to, like, going through that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know what's funny, man, is that I grew up in a place, in a climate, like I said, in Alaska, where it's probably not that different from Minnesota. Like, you guys actually might have even shorter winters than we have, which might seem astounding. You know, once I moved down here, I didn't miss it for a long time. Like, the seasons, I didn't miss it. I'm like, yo, I'm down with it always being 72 and sunny. Like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
But now that I've, like, really established, okay, California's home. I've been here for over 10 years. It's like, sometimes I miss the snow. And now I find myself, like, going to do activities in the snow here just because I miss it, which is funny. Because I never would have thought after those winters that I would want to.
Definitely.
But anyhow. Yeah. How do you cope with the snow in the winters there? Did you have, like, wintertime activities?
Stay in a studio.
That's it? Yeah.
I tried snowboarding once.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, so expensive and stuff.
Right.
But
Basketball is hella popular in Alaska because, like, indoor sports are very popular.
Oh, yeah.
Did you grow up playing sports at all?
I tried. I played football and basketball.
Not an athlete?
But nah. It wasn't my thing. It was mainly, like, I could do the things, like, I could run as fast as I could run, I could jump, I could do all that shit, but it was just, like, all at the same time wasn't really my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was, like, I liked activity, and I still do, like, to move around, and I love, like, physical activity.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, I just don't really care that.
How did you feel in a team environment, at being that you're, like, kind of a loner? Like, was a team environment conducive to your mentality?
No, not at all.
Right.
And then, like, just, like, the ranking of the player. Like, it wasn't my type of thought process of how I thought. Like,
isn't it funny how... But earlier you talked about that artistic competitiveness. You know what I mean? That I think a lot... And I think a lot of artists do thrive on that competition.
Yeah.
Whether it's that internal competition of always trying to one-up yourself. Yeah. Or also, like, seeing, like, oh, damn, my homie just went in on this. Like, I need to step my shit up.
Yeah, definitely.
That type of competition as well. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes that just doesn't translate over to, like, the kind of arbitrary sports competition.
I don't know why, because there's so many similarities. Now that I'm older, there's so many similarities to it, too.
Yeah.
As much as differences. But just something about it didn't rub me the right way. Like, the certain type of competition it was, the fact that it was, like, solely numbers.
Yeah.
It wasn't really attractive to me. Like, it wasn't.
I'll bet you would have liked skateboarding.
Yeah,
that's a very,
I tried,
like,
to.
Really?
And now I know how to skate. I can't do tricks.
Yeah.
But it was a little too late. Like,
right.
I feel like if you skate, you got to start. Like,
you got to pick that up young because you got to start fearless.
Yeah. Exactly.
I look at a skateboard now and I just see broken bones. Yeah. Like, that's it.
It's like, I don't know. I don't need to be learning tricks and then miss out on a show and then not get paid. Like,
yeah. So, yeah, being that, like, you've already got an actualized music career as such a young dude, I would imagine that you probably started taking it serious and making music a lot earlier than most of your peers. Like, what you say you spent a lot of time in the studio as a kid. What age were you getting into studio?
I got in the studio for the first time. I think I was 13.
That young?
Yeah. It was a church studio.
You said you went to Christian school. Did you grow up pretty religious?
Yeah, kind of. My mom got more religious as I got older.
Yeah.
Did
you take to it?
At first I did. When I was, like, younger, like, I really did. But then as I got older, I just kind of, like, I don't know, I just became more of an independent thinker,
right,
I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it was, I started recording in the church. And it was cool because I got like to learn how to record and stuff. But the thing I didn't like about it was that I couldn't like say everything I wanted to say.
You had to self-censor because you're in a church.
Yeah,
because
I'm in a church.
Right.
So
like, who were the people guiding you in the church? Was it like church elders and shit or like, you know, people that worked there?
Yeah. My mom and her friend that he played guitar. He's a really talented musician.
Yeah.
But he played every instrument and would play like all the instruments on his album and stuff.
So they'd be there in the studio with you. Your mom would be watching and shit.
Yeah. So I'd have a notebook and I have to cross out certain words.
Right. And was it, I mean, you have a great voice. Like we already talked about the boominess of your voice, but also you have a great singing voice.
Thanks.
So yeah, you're welcome. So did you already know you could sing at that age or were you trying to rap mainly at that age?
I was mainly trying to rap.
Yeah.
But I still did like melodic stuff.
Yeah.
But when I was like in Canada and stuff, I would sing. I didn't rap at all, really.
Like singing in the church?
Not in the church, but just singing. I would just be singing like R&B songs.
Okay, word. So what were your first songs like? You said over acoustic guitar or what?
No, it was hip-hop beats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hip-hop beats, the first songs. I remember I had this song called It's All Me. That was the first song I ever recorded. And it was like me just, I was so young. Like now that I had artwork for it and everything. I'm pretty sure my mom still has it. But
I hate to tell you, we actually found it online. We're going to play it right now. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going
to
say, that's crazy.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
But no, I haven't heard it in a minute. But
yeah.
It was just me like talking about everything I liked.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, I got this Nintendo.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's like, it's talking about my favorite foods.
And, right. Did you make the beat or did you find the beat?
Nah,
how'd you do it?
Nah, we made it in the studio together.
Yeah.
Me and my mother's friend.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And that first time, I mean, did you know that was it?
Yeah, that first time he was like, man, like I thought, that first time it was like a genuine reaction of him just playing around recording a kid and then me actually writing lines and like writing a song. And he was like, I didn't know that was going to happen. I thought you were just going to like, I was just recording you just because you were like, all right, I want to record.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's when I knew like, oh, okay. Then I should just keep doing
it. And so you wrote it on the spot?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's dope. Hell yeah. And so do you show your friends?
Definitely. I played it for all of them. My mom would like make CDs and give it to my friends' parents, and they'd play it for their kids. And
oh, sick. So your mom was like supportive of it. That's dope.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And do you start to like kind of build some legend around yourself at your school? Like are kids like, oh, fuck now, and that's the rapper.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's dope.
That's how it became. Especially like when I started going to school in the suburbs. Too,
yeah,
because it was like at that time it wasn't like kids were just trying to rap. I mean they were, but it was like it's not like they had, there was still a separation of the home studio.
Uh-huh.
Like that wasn't in full effect completely yet. Like some people had it, but it wasn't how it is now with the iMac and everything.
The democracy of recording has become like anybody with an iPhone can make a rap album now.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you had recorded songs at school, it was like you were very serious about what you did.
Right.
You know? So.
And how does that translate socially? Like, are kids like, yo, man, you should play my birthday party or anything like that?
People just asking me to rap right away. You know what I mean? It wasn't really like that. It was just like, people like, oh, can I hear that? Some kids would buy my CDs and stuff.
Yeah.
It was cool.
And so, did it help with the ladies at all?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
A point of topic, a conversation.
You right. Know what easy I mean? Starting
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Did it become a distraction from schoolwork? Was it like the only thing you would start to think about after a while?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what started happening is like I was fine in school and then my mom was supportive of it until I started to excel in music more than school.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
That became your only concentration.
That became the only thing that I could think about. And then it was like, man, maybe I should take this away.
That was her thought process?
But then that didn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you try to take it away, you're just going to like find ways to sneak it probably.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so did it get to like real bad to where you're like failing classes and shit like that? Or just kind of like your teachers would notice that you were distracted?
I failed like one or two classes, yeah.
Yeah.
but I've always like been like a distracted student.
Right.
I did my work, you know what I mean, and I would pass, but I've always been thinking about something else other than being in the classroom.
Right.
That's what I was saying earlier, like, I feel like hopefully this is the right way for me to go back into
school. Where
you
can do it on your own time.
On my own time, on the plane, like, when I wake up, just, because I do like to learn new things, you know what I mean, but.
Do you feel like school came too easy, maybe, and that's why it was like, you kind of just, like, burned it off, or was
You know, I think so.
Yeah.
It was like, it was like, it came so easy. And it's like, I would go home with certificates and stuff. My mom would be like, oh my gosh. Right. And it's just like, but I don't feel like I did anything.
Right. It's like, well, this doesn't matter. It was so easy.
Yeah. And when I was in Canada, I actually skipped a grade.
Oh, yeah.
But then when I came over here, the school system was different.
So it didn't translate.
It didn't translate. Right. But, yeah, like it came extremely easy. It was not challenging. And right. I remember, like, even as a child, telling my mom, like, I'm bored in class. Like,
and that's kind of the beautiful thing about finding your passion in music is that it becomes something that feels so natural, but it also is something that can be completely challenging.
Yeah.
While you push yourself on your own terms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's your first big break thing that happens then?
I would say like my first big break thing was probably, man, I don't know. I still feel like I haven't.
Well, you know,
I know what
you. Yeah, I'll tell you. Never feels like the break comes.
Yeah.
It never feels like the break comes. Like, you're always going to be pushing yourself. Don't get me wrong. But when you look back now, you have to be like, oh yeah, this, like.
I think when I made the video for Evergreens and dropped it, and it was like, that was like the radio in my town was playing it,
way.
Like kids would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the kids were like, oh.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 18, I think.
Yeah. That's young, dude. I didn't know that you were 18. I thought you were older than that watching the video.
18,
I
mean, 19.
That's the one that made me be like, oh, this Alan Kingdom is a problem. That's I am wonderful.
I always
wonderful.
Forget my ages too at certain times. So
right.
I might have been 19. I might have been 20. I might have been 18. It's 18 through 20. Sometime from 18 to 20.
Right. Well, so what happened? Like, you graduated high school?
Yeah. I graduated high school.
But you're already putting out tapes before that?
Yeah.
How were they spreading around locally?
In the city.
Yeah.
In the city.
So were you playing shows while you're in high school?
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
That was cool. I would just, like, it wouldn't be, like, the suburbs where I was staying at. It would mainly be in the city. Like, these kids in the city were listening to me.
What are the suburbs around there?
Like, Woodbury. I went to Woodbury High School and, like, Anoka. And, like,
a
lot of them.
Did
there's
you guys,
more suburbs than cities.
You guys moved out of St. Paul into the suburbs?
Yeah.
What was the difference there? Like, was it a different environment, kind of?
Yeah, very different. Like, extremely different. Because the school I went to was, like, all types of kids in St. Paul. Very diverse, like, kids from everywhere.
Yeah.
But then when I went to the suburbs, it was just white people.
And what was the contrast for you, in like, internally? Or, like, what did you notice about going to a mainly white school, a predominantly white school?
I noticed that, like, there's so many advantages. Like, there's a lot of shit that, had I not went there, because the education level was so much higher.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, so there's a lot of shit that if I hadn't studied at, like, schools that nice, I wouldn't know. And that's just, like, scary to think about. Because I was, you know what I mean? Because I could have gone to another school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, the thing about the systematic oppression in the States that people don't realize, and like, you know, it's like lucky that you got to see both sides of that coin, because you get to be aware of it. But, like, some people don't believe that there's, like, this vast difference.
No,
but
it's a huge difference.
Right.
It's a huge. And then the other thing I realized was that, but in that environment of that higher level of education, there was still, like, a high amount of ignorance.
Right.
So it was like, it was just like, there was good and bad of both places.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of just like, you got to choose what type of good and what type of bad you want to be around.
Right.
Really? Like, it's like, you know, it's like, I just felt in the city, people were just more street smart, and you know what I mean? And in the suburbs, it was like flipped. It was like, people were less of that, but had higher academic
book smarts.
And book smarts.
How did your social life change between living, like, in the city in St. Paul and then in the burbs?
I felt like in the city I could blend in more.
Yeah.
Of being a different person, like being a caricature and being, like, creative and being different. I felt like in the suburbs it was harder to not stick out, like, even whether you liked it or not, you were going to, like, you know.
Right, you can't blend in there because everybody's a bunch of fucking white people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But was there more to do in St. Paul than there is in the burbs?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. It's the same stuff. When you're a kid, it's the same things.
Right, right.
When you're older, it's like things start to, you know, you start going out and stuff, but when you're younger, it's like the same things you ride on your bike.
Right.
You know.
When is it that you get your first show in the city?
My first show was actually a show that I put on myself, that I rented the venue. And
Was it in Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, yeah.
Yeah, what venue
was it?
But
before that,
yeah,
I was just doing shows off Craigslist.
Oh.
I would, like, me and my friends would just be like, who needs someone, us to, like, who needs performers? and I would just go perform my music, like, wherever.
That's random. Dope. Like, what kind of weird places did you perform at?
The weirdest place I performed at was, the weirdest place I performed at was, like, drug. It was, like, out in the middle of the farm, like, a farm place.
Yeah.
It was, like, drug recovery addict group.
Right. Meeting. Like a halfway home thing. Or like, a meeting?
A meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like a home. It was, yeah, like, they all came from the cities and would go out there, and they were, like, grown people. Like, this wasn't, like for teenagers and shit, right, like, recovery. It was, like, grown people. And I remember I seen one of my teachers there.
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, damn. She was it's, like, for, like, the worst of the worst addicts. And,
right.
Like, who have recovered and are really serious and are on the track to, like, do better and shit.
Yeah.
But it was just, I was so young. One of your teachers there. Yeah.
That's crazy as fuck.
They, like, made a pig. They roasted a pig and stuff.
How many other people played? Was it like a whole day of performances or just you?
It was just, like, me.
And that's, like, so crazy.
My DJ friend that, like, spun.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Was it awkward?
Yes. It was very awkward. But it was, like, at the time we were having a show. People are dancing. People, yeah, they were just happy to be off drugs.
Yeah, right. Right. So, how do you like performing?
Yeah, I love it.
What's your favorite part of music? Is it the studio stuff or the performing or the traveling? What is it?
I'd have to say probably the studio.
Yeah.
Probably the studio.
Right, right.
Coming up with ideas. You know what I mean? Like, just coming up with the idea. And, like, especially when you have something that you know is, yeah, like, man, like, I just know this one is gonna do something for me, you know,
right,
like, for other people. Like, that feeling is, like, dope. Like, when you first leave the studio and you have that song, there's no other feel. Like, every day after that, the feeling gets diminished every single day,
right.
And then when you release it, it's new to everybody else, but then it's already old to you.
You get that feeling when you release a song where it's like, oh, you guys like this? This is, like, my joint I made a year ago.
Yeah,
wait,
exactly,
till you hear the shit that I'm working on,
yeah,
now,
yeah,
kind of,
yeah,
shit.
That's, or it's like, I just released this now because I'm working on some other,
right,
shit that I've been working on for 3 months.
Yo, how about, like, the funniest thing about music videos is that by the time the music video comes out, like, you're already so over the outfit you were wearing,
yeah,
and shit. It's like the day you're wearing it, you're like, oh, I'm fucking styling,
yeah,
on fools. And then by the time it comes out, you're like, I can never wear that outfit again,
yep,
but now I'm going to see people dressing like this, and,
yeah,
they don't realize that's the old shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't know. That's the funny part about releasing music, because it's always old to you.
Yeah.
Your first show in the city, did anybody, like, did it do well?
Yeah, it sold out.
Nice.
You know, it was at this coffee. It's just like a little coffee house.
Yeah.
But, like, all the kids came and stuff. And
yeah.
It was good, man.
And being that Minneapolis, St. Paul, they are, like, big hip hop cities, and they do have, like, a heritage of established rappers. Like, how long was it until you started hearing, like, voices from within the scene being like, yo, Alan Kingdom, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of us type of shit, you know what I mean? Or, like, not one of us, but, like, he's the truth type of shit.
It was mainly, like, the press.
Really?
That, yeah, it's like, people talk shit about the press, and it's like, they can be bad, but
yeah,
it was mainly, like, the press saw, like, just, like, the youth of the city, like, you,
yeah,
know what I mean? Like, listening to my music and stuff.
Yeah.
There was never really, like, any rapper, anybody, to, like, earlier on to be like, yo, like, you know, welcome.
Like, co-signing,
yeah,
or anything like
co-signing.
That.
Co-signing. It was always, like, just through me putting out music and,
yeah,
like, just different people, like, supporting.
It's kind of a funny thing now. Local scenes have become kind of diluted just because the internet is so,
yeah,
everything,
yeah,
now. You know, like, so I remember the first time I saw you was on Pigeons and Planes, and it was probably the Evergreen video, and I was just kind of like, oh, like, you already seemed like you had a fully developed voice, you,
yeah,
know what I mean? Like, literally and figuratively. And so it's almost like as soon as you can catch on locally, you're already catching on nationally,
yep,
almost, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Who else, like, were there other kids that you were coming up with?
At the time, it were just, like, other creatives, you know what,
yeah,
I mean? Other kids that were trying to make beats, other kids that was trying to... But everyone seriously was in, like, the recent years.
Right.
Like, Bobby Raps and Spooky. And
yeah.
They
were, you guys
always,
went on to form the Standard, but you,
yeah,
guys didn't come up together.
No. They were doing their other weird creative shit the same time I was, on their own.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they were all, you know, doing their own stuff. Like, Spooky had already had tracks up on SoundCloud from before, being,
yeah,
from when he was 15, 16. And,
yeah,
you know, we were all kind of doing the same thing and then met at the right time.
Were you aware of each other, though, as like, oh, there's this kid over here in the city,
Bobby,
doing this? You knew about Bobby. Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah.
And I think Bobby knew Simon, or I don't know how exactly everyone else knew each other, but Bobby knew Spooky before me.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how Simon got in the mix, to be honest. I think Bobby knew him, or I think Spooky knew him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But yeah, so.
So now you're a nationally touring act. I'm sure you have mm-hmm. like booking agents and all that stuff. Yeah. And you're not home as much, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But like when you go home, do you feel as though there's like a warm reception for you? Like it's like a homecoming?
Definitely,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like right now, like my DJ Tip, he puts on a lot of the shows in the cities.
Right.
Not only does he play them, but he books artists and like he does a lot of shit just like for the city. We put together stuff just culturally to keep it alive. You know what I mean? So
yeah, meeting him on Sunday, he seems like a good dude to have in your corner. Like that's a real like, I mean, dude, busy mind. I'm sure he's one of those. Like he seems like he's always got his hands in something and is a strong creative.
Yeah. So he's a good person to have around. So just us being there and like putting that light on the city, you know, it's definitely, I feel like when I go back, I feel like it was felt that I was gone. You know?
Right. Yeah. So Northern Lights, how long has that been out now?
It's been out 7 months.
Oh, for a minute. So you probably got something soon then.
Yeah.
When is it? Like, you don't have to like spill release dates or anything, but like, how's the process going? Like, of working on new shit? Are you happy with what you've been working on?
Definitely. Like, I think like after you put stuff out, you have like a good gauge of what people respond to and what people like, etc. Yeah. So you just get better.
What are you starting to learn about your fan base and what they think of you? Like, what do they react to more of your types of songs?
I feel like they react to like heartfelt things.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
even if it's like a turn up song, even if it's something like, I just feel like everybody that like really pays attention to me is like really human. You know what I mean?
That's a good word to describe.
So it's like, I feel like they react to things that they're like, that just hit them in the chest. Like,
right.
You know?
Well, listening to your music, I think that's one of the things that stuck out to me is that even from such a young age, you seem very comfortable in your skin and you do have a very human perspective. And even on songs where you're with the braggadocio, it still seems relatable.
You know what I mean?
And so I would imagine that your fan base and following kind of appreciate those human songs. Mm. Now, the thing when you gather those type of fans, I wonder, do you ever feel like you're going to feel pressured to like stay superhuman? Like, here's the thing. When you get these fans that are real hip hop fans, you almost feel stuck in this like, oh, I have to be like the real hip hop bubble. Even though like, keep it 100, it's fun to just make some fucking dumbass turn up shit sometimes, definitely. You know? Do you ever feel trapped in, do you ever fear that you might get trapped in that kind of box?
Not really. Like, cause I feel like the people, I feel like the people who listen to my songs aren't always like really like hip hop head type people.
Right.
Cause when I was like coming up, those type of people didn't really like me in the first place.
Really?
Yeah. Like I didn't really get like, you know, now they do, but at the time, like, it's kind of like I had to prove myself.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that, but I don't know. Like, I think that they can just tell I want to have fun too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like at the end of the day, like the main thing with my music is like happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, whether that comes in me telling you a story about how I was happy or me literally just being happy on a beat.
Right.
Like, I don't think it should matter.
Right.
And if it does, that just means they don't understand me well enough. But in time they will. So,
right.
Yeah.
This line of questioning might be a little bit inside baseball. As far as like, audience might not relate to this, but I feel like maybe you will understand. I think like hearing your type of music, it is so kind of distinct and kind of left of a lot of stuff that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And unique. Your music is strongly unique. And I think that's why I'm drawn to it. And that's why I appreciate it. That being said, it can be very tough being an opening act. Like when you're when you do have that different of a sound, particularly compared to like what's really, really popular now. Yeah. So, I don't know this for certain, but I feel like you're probably at a point in your life where when you're getting spot dates, you're maybe like a direct support for a bigger act. Yeah. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's usually what it is.
Do you find it being an uphill battle trying to like win over these fans that are here to see somebody else or like that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. But it makes you stronger too.
Yeah.
But I'm at the point where I'm probably going to be doing that less. You know what I mean? Moving forward. But like this year, I just feel like it was kind of mandatory that I did that.
Absolutely. You have to leave that skin in the game.
Exactly. And and it is important to know what's going on.
Right.
And to know what people respond to.
Right.
And it's like, whether you choose to use it or not use it, it's at least you have that knowledge. Right. Like, all right, like maybe I'm going to spit over this beat that I usually wouldn't spit over, but I'm going to just talk about my life over this.
Right.
People would like it more if I just talked about my life over this beat instead of that one.
Right.
And I feel like as an artist, like making those type of decisions is good. You know what I mean?
Well, the other thing, your music is very kind of thinky. Like a lot of it is thinking music, what I mean? And a lot of it is very like word heavy. Like you say a lot of words when you rap, obviously. And so, I would imagine that you're in a place right now where people who are seeing you perform for the first time might be like standing still or like not reacting as much as you want them to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I just want to say like, they're probably listening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you have to remind yourself like, oh no, they're not like not reacting. They're just trying to like take it in and absorb it. You know,
that's what I've got. Like a lot of the times, honestly, like people will, There's some shit where they'll just go crazy, but then there's other things where they'll just stand there and like I gotta remind myself like, oh, they're just listening.
Right.
When I look at them, it's not like they don't like it. They're literally just listening to somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So, and sometimes, honestly, in the position you're at, that can be the best compliment.
Yeah.
Because standing there and listening intently is much better than like walking out.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Like talking amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. Like if people are listening intently, it's because they're trying to absorb you. Because it's a lot to absorb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just wrap it up with kind of like if you I want to say first and foremost, like I'm avoiding the normal kind of questions about you that I feel like most people would do. So if you guys are interested listening, if you guys listening are more interested in like reading other stuff about Alan, I'm sure like if you just Google Alan Kingdom, all your questions about Kanye will be there.
Yeah.
All your questions about Spooky Black and Bobby Raps and The Standard will be there.
Yeah.
That shit's on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we did a good job getting into some other shit, hopefully.
Yeah,
and so now just like, I would love to hear anything about like what you're working on now that Northern Lights has been out there for a minute, which is crazy that it's only 7 months old.
Yeah.
And that seems like in modern days, it's like, oh my God, you better hurry up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, do you feel those footsteps to like put new shit out all the time?
Yeah. It's like I get anxious when I don't, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I think more people will like my new music.
Yeah.
I think that like it'll be way more when I was thinking about being human, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that like, my new stuff, I just have like songs for every situation.
Yeah.
I got songs like, you know what I mean? Like when I'm out partying or, cause I'm not just by myself thinking in a room all day.
Right,
you know what
I
mean?
Right, right.
So just showing you that is just me showing you like the purest form of me.
But
like, you know what I mean? I think it's like time for people to like see every side.
Right.
So
totally, man.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I look forward to hearing some more music from you. I've enjoyed the projects you put out so far. I'm thankful and gracious that you guys came in. So, where can the people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at ALLAN, Alan, KNGDM. On Instagram, I am Alan Kingdom. Facebook.com.
Yep.
I am Alan Kingdom.
One of those Snapchat dudes, though, with the strong SEO where it's like if you Google Alan Kingdom, thankfully you're going to find him.
You'll find it. SoundCloud.
And all of his music is available on Spotify pretty much. Or like at least the main tapes are available on Spotify for free streaming. So you guys can check those out. Highly recommended. And you just put out a new video a little bit ago, didn't you?
I put out this video for Fables Up Northern Lights. And then I just put out a new song like 3 days ago.
Nice. Fables. The video is very beautiful. Shot in Jamaica.
Yeah.
You guys can go listen to Ham on Everything Radio. We talked about the video on there. Okay. So that being said, Thank you for coming in.
No problem.
This is the part where I start spewing my social media. If you're still listening, my name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. And go to youtube.com/kindaneat, where you can see last week's guest, Kaz, performing. You can see our old videos with Caliucci's or you know, whoever. Whoever you guys like, you will probably find on there. Go check out the videos. Go to patreon.com/kindaneat and pledge $1 per episode. That's basically buying me a cup of coffee every month. Just do that. If this is a part of your weekly routine, then go do that. If you are just here to listen to Alan's interview, welcome. I'm glad that you came. I hope that you stick around. We have hundreds of other interviews for you to listen to. Remember to download that podcast app, search for Kinda Neat on there, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and tell us who you want to see on the show. And other than that, I think we did what we came to do. That was Alan. My name is Lee, and this was Kinda Neat.